get to heaven. Looking forward to that, right? 673, when we all get to heaven. We'll sing and shout the victory. 673.
John chapter 6, from verses 1 through 35. Pastor mentioned about lost people getting comfort from Psalm 23. Kind of reminds me of what Leonard Ravenhill used to say, that his job as a preacher was to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. That was interesting. Anyway, John 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And a great sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The next day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus was not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. And the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples. They also took shipping, and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
And while you're in your Bible, would you go to Exodus chapter 16? Exodus chapter 16. Take a look at this as we just kind of prepare our minds for what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Exodus 16 gives us the account of the manna from heaven. Verse 4 says, Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then go down to verse 12. Verse 11 says, The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. And so you have, go over to verse 31, tells you what it's like. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it like wafers made with honey. So there you have the account of Moses and manna from heaven, and then the Lord referring to it after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. So we'll be looking at that when we get to the message this morning. And so let's take our hymn books once again, turn to number 45. Number 45, and you'll notice a reference to the bread of life in this song as well. Number 45, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Number 45.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
die, death and a death of death, and hell's destruction. Wow, that's talking about when you die. Hell's destruction. Oh boy. It would surely like to take you right down into its depths. But then he says, land me safe on Canaan's side. When I get through that, may I be on Canaan's side, but it's all over and done. Songs of praises I will ever give to thee. If you would take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to the Gospel of John chapter 6. Gospel of John chapter 6. I was going to give you a current event, but I'm going to leave that for tonight. All right. Otherwise, I might get into preaching some other message, and I better get right to the topic at hand here this morning. If you remember last week, we looked at a whole bunch of verses that present Jesus Christ as the great I Am, and the Messiah of Israel, and the one whom all men ought to be trusting in. There is no one on the whole earth that can say of themselves, I am that I am. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can be such a person as that. Well, in our reading this morning in John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ has a great crowd of people gathered around Him, over 5,000 of them all together. And that's just the number of the men. So it doesn't count the women that were there, and if there were children there as well. You could probably double that figure, at least 10,000 people. Now, that's a big crowd back in the day of Jesus' time. For even the population of the whole earth wasn't really that great back at that time. So to have a crowd of 10,000 people, that is no small thing. That is very big, very important. And so Jesus here is near the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And He went up into a mountain. There He sat with His disciples and He taught them. Of course, the mountain in the Bible is a symbolic of the kingdom. And Jesus sitting on that mountain would be symbolic of Him being king. King over the Israel and over the Jews. And there is just a little foretaste of what it's going to be like someday in the future when Israel finally trusts in Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and He comes as their King, and He's with them, and they gather around Him, and He teaches them. This is kind of just a little foretaste of that which is to come. You know what? It's good to be saved, because there are so many great things that we are going to see take place if you know the Lord as your Savior. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're going to be in outer darkness while we see all these wonderful things. So why not get saved? Why not admit you're a sinner, you're on your way to hell, and you need a Savior, and trust Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior? And get in on all the great things that there are for those who know the Lord as their Savior. And of course, one of the greatest things is to have that escape from hell and be forgiven of sin and have a home prepared for you in heaven. That's the greatest thing. Why not do that today? And for those of you Christians who sit here today and this doesn't even affect you, you can't even get your blesser blessed or whatever, what do we need to say to you to get you happy about the fact that you actually did trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Let's get a smile on that face. Oh yes, it is good to be saved. I sure hope that you are happy in your heart and life. I tell you what, it is just the greatest thing to be saved. You ought to be with me in my car sometimes when we're riding down the road on Monday morning and Tuesday morning trying to get to my first client. I'd probably be a little embarrassed, but you can have a good time with the Lord. It is the best thing to know the Lord as your personal Savior and to rejoice about those things with Him. So, come on, cheer up. If you're saved and you know it, say amen and be happy and glad about it. Jesus here is sitting here on this mountain, a type of Him being king over the kingdom, and there's His subjects in front of Him, and He's teaching them the great things of the Lord. And the day wore on, and the Lord said to His disciples, He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Let's go get something for these people to eat. And they said, and of course the Lord knew why He said this. It tells you right in the Bible there that He did this to prove His disciples. And they said, oh, why, 200 pennyworth wouldn't even be enough to feed all these people here. And one of his disciples, Andrew, said, there is a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Boy, wouldn't it be great if he just stopped right there and said, and so, Lord, how about you just take those and feed everybody with it? But he didn't. He said, but what are they among so many? A lot of times we say the same things about the provision of God that he has given. But what is this among so many? There's 5-6 billion people in the world today, and what is this message of salvation for so many? Well, it's everything. That's what it is. If we only had faith to believe it, if we only had faith to take God at his word and say it is sufficient to save any man anywhere on the face of this earth, that being the gospel, it can save anybody. And change them. Make a new man out of them. Remember the riches of God's grace that we're studying in the adult Sunday school class. Oh, God can do great things for people. I think it was Lance and I this morning, or yesterday, were talking. And, you know, the condition of this world is so bad and everything that what people need is... And we concluded that what the people need is not a new Republican Party. Or a new political party. Or new Congress. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to save people and change them and make something out of them that they aren't right now. Only Christ can do that. Oh, but if they only had a better government. Yeah, so if we had a better government and they're still lost, what good is that? They need Jesus. The people need the Lord. That's what they need. And what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make all the men sit down. Now there was much grass in that place. Some of you who mow grass, you just love to know about that. Jesus knew where to put everybody. There was much grass in the place. I can just see all you lawn maintenance guys, your eyes light up all of a sudden, right? And the men sat down, about 5,000. He took the loaves and he gave thanks. By the way, let me just throw this in. Thank the Lord for your food before you eat it. Get into a habit of thanking the Lord for your food. No matter where you're at, even if you're out in public, you just get into a habit of thanking the Lord for your food. It may be a good testimony to someone to see you bowing your head and thanking the Lord for your food. What a blessing it is to see our grandson often shame us all by folding his hands before we all eat, because he's expecting Grandpa to pray before we eat. It's good, and it's a good thing to instill in children as well as your own self. You ought to be thankful. Here's the example. Jesus prayed before they ate. So it's not just a, you know, well, they're just putting on the religious outward look. No, it's the right thing to do. To thank God for your food. Okay. And so he distributed among his disciples. They distributed among the people. And everybody ate as much as they would. Verse 11 ends with, they ate as much as they would. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Everybody ate. 10,000, probably 20,000 people ate as much as they would. It wasn't just a little tiny piece. They were full. That's what it says, verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather it up, we don't want to lose anything. And they had 12 baskets left, one for each one of the disciples, who before this didn't have enough faith to believe that they could take care of all these people. Jesus more than took care of all the people. And by the way, the gospel is more than able to save whosoever will. Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us, and that intercession is able to save to the uttermost them who come unto God by Him. He's able to save to the uttermost. This gospel is completely able to do it. A lot of times we're afraid to use it. I know. I am too. We're human and we have a lot of pride, you know, and we don't want anybody to think bad about us. So a lot of times we hold the gospel in because we don't want them to think that we're real religious or whatever. And so we're afraid to speak out for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, when we do, it will do its work. It will perform. Let's tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's share the good news with them. And so they had 12 baskets left over. When this was done, verse 14 says, Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Last week we were looking at the woman at the well. And she was convinced that this Jesus, who knew all about her, she had five husbands and things like that, knew all about her sin and everything. She said, "We know that one's going to come who will tell us all things." As if to say, "Might you be that one?" Jesus says to her, "I that speak unto thee am he." I that speak unto thee am. I'm that one that you're talking about. Here's what they said. "This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world." Why? Who else could do such a thing as we've just seen him do? Plus, they also saw him do many other miracles as well. But this one kind of seemed to be a topper for them when he fed 20,000 people with five loaves and two fishes. Verse 15, "When Jesus therefore perceived..." Did Jesus know what was going on? Does he know their hearts? Oh, yes, he does. "That they would come and take him by force to make him a king." You know, the next time you see people grabbing a hold of Jesus by force, it's to crucify him on the cross. Here they wanted to make him king. Oh, wow. This man, he'd make a great king. He can provide for us all. We'll have everything we need. Jesus knew, he understood that they would do this. He departed again into a mountain himself alone. Almost symbolic of how Jesus would leave while Israel would go in unbelief until the end of the tribulation time, at which time they will once again call upon the name of Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and accept Him, not only as one who can feed them with five loaves and two fishes, but one who can forgive them of their sin and save their lost souls. That day's coming. So the Lord hides Himself. The Lord goes alone into the mountain by Himself. And then the story of Him walking on the water, meeting His disciples. And even this was the time when Peter came out of the boat and walked on water unto the Lord, and all that story and everything is found over in Matthew, and Mark talks about it as well. The same details aren't given in our account here, but the thing that's brought out here is that the people, they knew that His disciples had gotten into a boat and went to the other side of the sea, but they couldn't figure out how He got from that side of the sea over to the other side. And that's why they say there in verse 25, "Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" Just another evidence of His supernatural power that He has as the Son of God and as the prophet that they were told was going to come. And just like it says back there in verse 14, that prophet that should come into the world. And verse 25 says, when they found Him there, they said, "How'd you get over here? Whence comest thou?" Jesus answered them and said, "Why, I walked on the water." No. You know, Jesus gets right down to it, doesn't He? He gets right down to the problem here. These people come to Jesus for everything except what they need. They come to Jesus for everything except what they need. Nicodemus came to Jesus and he wanted to have a good little talk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he ends up hearing what he really needed. He needed to be born again. He couldn't quite understand that. The woman at the well come out there to get water to make it through another day, and she ends up with water that gives her everlasting life. Now the people come to Jesus for everything except what they need. You know, people are going to religious meetings all over the world today. They're going to all kinds of meetings. And they're going there, and the name of Jesus is announced and sung about and things like that. But do they really see their need? You know, if they do, there would be no need for a church like ours, an independent Bible-believing church. I mean, we just assimilate into all the rest of them just like everybody else is. But we see a need. We see a problem. We see people who are coming to Jesus to get the five loaves and two fishes to feed 10,000 people. But they're walking away from Him, still lost in their sin. They see Him only as one who might be able to perform a miracle for them and do a great work. And of course, we got these charlatans out there in the religious world today who say that they can heal and make people better, and they can help your finances and everything else. Oh boy, what a mess the religious world is and the Christian world is today. We got these guys that are saying, if you just send in some seed faith to me, why, God will, He'll magnify that amount that you give to me twice. So you give me $1,000, God will give you $2,000. And they'll give you some verses in the Old Testament or whatever that seem to indicate that that's the business that God's in. It's wrong, folks. It's wrong. And people are looking for that kind of Jesus, who will do those kind of things for them. Fill their bank accounts up. Give them a good job. Or make them better from a disease or a problem, malady in their flesh. They're looking for that. But they don't want one who's going to expose their sin and their need to be forgiven and cleansed of that sin so that they might have everlasting life. People are coming to Jesus for everything except that which they need. You build a rescue mission and you can fill that place up with people who need help. You build a hospital in the name of Jesus and you can just take care of all the people that there are that need help. You can put out in front of your church, there will be a healing service tonight at 6:30. Come and get your healing. And you probably pack the place out, especially if you put rock and roll music up in the background and everything. The place will be packed. I see that. It's happening. It's happening. You know, go to the church on the move. You know, or the church with a rock or whatever they want to call themselves. They got all kinds of the family center. Go to this family center or whatever. They don't even want to call themselves churches anymore. You can find them. And they're filled with people looking for the help. Oh, make me better. Give me more money. Make my life happier. Whatever it is. What they really need is the bread of life. The Lord Jesus Christ inside their heart. Saving them from their sin. And giving them a new life in Christ. But that they don't want, because see, most of them, they like their sin. They want to keep on going on their sin. Oh, but they want this healing too and all this other stuff. That they don't mind taking. But don't put your finger on my sin. They need to come to partake of the bread of life. That's what verse 26 tells us. Look there. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily. In other words, two verilies together here. You really need to listen to this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. The people want Jesus to satisfy their temporal needs. But Jesus says, you cannot get everlasting life this way. And what you really need is everlasting life. You ate of those loaves and you were filled. But what are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do the next day when your tummy gets hungry again? Oh, we'll just go down to Jesus and He'll make more food for us. He says, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. He's saying, look, you cannot work for everlasting life. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, he says, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall, what? Give you. You're not going to work for it. You need the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. How many of us work pretty hard and long for the meat that perisheth? The things that are here today and gone tomorrow. Would you go to Matthew chapter 6? Take a look at these verses. Matthew 6, verse 19. If you simply need to be reminded about the way the riches of this world go, Matthew 6, verse 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. I'd like to take you to an Old Testament passage, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. So look for Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, and verse 9. Chapter 5, verse 9. Some of you were mentioning how that last week you were able to keep up with me, going to all the passages of Scripture and everything. So your Bibles ought to be well broken in this morning, and you should be able to find Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, and verse 9. Moreover, listen to these words from one of the wisest men on the face of the earth. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? Oh, what a good verse that is, you know? So you gain all these riches and you just fill your coffers full of all the money this world has. And what happens to it? Someone else comes along and takes it. Or they are increased that eat them. It is not going to satisfy. Verse 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer or allow him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. You never see a U-Haul trailer hitched to a hearse. You know? There's just no such thing. All they do is put your body in the box and out to the grave it goes. One guy wanted to take everything with him and told his wife, make sure you put all my gold and silver and everything and my money in my coffin with me when I go. So she wrote a check for all that it was worth, put it in there. There he had it all in the form of a check. She kept it all, see? Yep. And so look, Jesus says to them, labor not, verse 27, for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Jesus tells them to labor for eternal life. Verse 28, they then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They sought to know what work they could do to get eternal life here. Okay, Jesus, all right, what work should we do to get this, that we might work the works of God? Verse 29, he says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. The work is not your work, but the work of God. You've got to trust in the work of God and believe what God has done for you. What is the work of God? The work of God is that ye believe. And now the Lord Jesus Christ here is going to get these people to get their eyes off the, whoa, look at all that bread. Look at all those fish. 12 baskets left over. Whoa, let's make this guy king. Get your eyes off of that and do the work of God, which is believe on me. Believe on me. Trust me. Oh. Trust in a person rather than the things that that person can give us? You want us to stop thinking about the things that you've just provided for us and think about just you, a person? Yes, that's what the Lord's going to get them to do. Get your eyes off these things and put your eyes on me. Trust in me. They said, therefore, in verse 30, They say, therefore, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Oh, it's amazing how they go right back to the works thing, you know. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Well, Jesus said, you have to believe on me. Well, why? What sign showest thou then that we may believe in you? What dost thou work? Oh, wait a minute. Didn't he just feed them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? What more do these... You know what? These people do not want to put their trust in someone other than themselves. They don't want to put their trust in a person. That's what preaching the gospel is all about. Trying to get people to stop trusting themselves and their own works or religious works, whatever it might be they've got their eyes on, and get them to trust in a person. Now, we don't want them to just trust in Pastor Freeman, so don't go around and say, oh, you got to come to Ray Street Baptist Church. Why, there's a preacher there that, whoa! No. We better be preaching Christ. We better be saying, we want you to put your trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's been sealed to be that one by the Father. He's the one for you to go to. Go to Him. He has the bread of life. Oh, that endureth unto everlasting life. He has the water that will cause you to never thirst once you've drunk of it. You need to come to Him. Well, who is this guy? Yeah, people want some signs and wonders to be done. Show us some signs and wonders. It's like, I just walked on the water from this side to the other. I just fed you all with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I made the blind to see, the lame to walk, the dumb to speak. Oh, would you show us a sign? Oh, boy. You know, these charlatans out in the religious world today who are doing all these healings and that, they have to keep on doing that, and they have to keep getting more sensational all the time. Have you noticed that it just gets more ridiculous as they continue to go on? And yet, thousands of people follow them. Now, if I say to some of you older ones, and Lance and I were talking about this yesterday, if I said this name to you among the religious world today, Jim and Tammy Baker, what do you think of? Some of you might not be old enough to know. I think of people who went to jail for taking money from people in a religious sense. Do you know this guy is back on TV, back to asking people to send in thousands of dollars to his ministry? What's with people? Because they want a miracle or a healing of some kind. They don't want a Savior. They don't want a Jesus who's really going to save them and their soul from sin and hell. They don't want that. They want this religious stuff. They want healing. They want money. You know, these guys would never make it over in India, by the way. I mean, how are poor people going to send anything to these guys? I tell you what, if you don't have something that's real over there to give to those folks, and by that real, I mean a gospel message that will save their lost soul and switch them from worshiping idols to worshiping the living and true God, you don't have anything to give. You're not going to make it in the ministry there. These guys are only found here in rich America. They're not found anywhere else. Oh, man. Okay, let me get going here. He says this. I'm saying to you, let me get going. You're saying, I'm not keeping you. Go ahead and get going, Pastor. All right. The true bread, in verse 30, in chapter 6. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave ye not that bread from heaven. Because see, in verse 31, they say, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Were they saying, Lord, why don't you do something better than Moses did? How about give manna like Moses did? Jesus says, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. This bread you need is a person. It's me. My Father gave me to you that you might have eternal life. Moses didn't give you that bread. The Father gave that bread for Moses on his behalf. Now I'm going to tell you that the same Father sent His Son as the bread of life into this world for you. The people still wanted temporal bread. Look verse 34. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Let us have this bread come down from heaven, just like Moses did. And then, of course, you're saying that God will send down bread from heaven. Verse 35, Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. You know, there is no one else in all God's creation, in all the universe, who can say those words, I am the bread of life, but Jesus only. You don't even have, even within paganism and the polytheism of the world and the many religions in the world, even they do not have their gods saying, I am the bread of life. Only Jesus, only Christianity, only in the Bible does our Savior say, I am the bread of life. Now when He says, I am, there's that name for God. I am. If you say I am about anything, you're putting yourself into deity, into Godheadship. Because to say I am, you've got to already say, I've always been before, I am now, and I'll be around tomorrow when you need me. And I will always be around forever. You can't say I am without also saying, and I'll be there in eternity too. And I have always been in eternity past as well. In other words, I am doesn't mean anything. Because tomorrow, will He still be here? He's still the I am. Jesus said this 2,000 years ago. He's still I am, the bread of life. And people are still coming to Christ and having their sins forgiven and given new life. And their lives have been changed for the honor and glory of the Lord. The I am is still around. And I am the bread of life is a person. Look at verse 35. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He's not saying, if you come and you happen to be in the crowd when I feed everybody with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, then you'll get in on this. No, He says, I am the bread of life. Me. You've got to believe on me, come to me, and he that believeth on me, put your trust in me. Wow. The Lord wanted them to be his disciples. Follow me. Believe me. Who are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? Oh, I hope you've got a person to believe in to give you everlasting life. And there's no other person to believe in for that than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Why is he so special? Because he would go to the cross for your sins. I need to wrap this up, so let me go down a little bit further here, all the way down to verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. How is it that he can give me of himself bread that will give me everlasting life? It's because he says here, I am the living bread, and I am that bread that I will give is my flesh. I will give my flesh for the life of the world. The whole world can get in on this through trusting in what Jesus Christ is going to do for them on the cross. I'm going to give my life for the whole world. They strove, verse 52, they strove among themselves saying, how can this man give his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Folks, these are strong words to be spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ here. What is he saying? Verse 57, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And notice the words, eateth. Eateth. And then drinketh my blood. Eateth my flesh. Drinketh my blood. Folks, you know what? That's in the present continuous tense. This message this morning is not only for those who have never come to Jesus Christ to trust Him as personal Savior, but it's also for you who have already trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know what? In order for you to have that life-sustaining principle in you to help you through every day, you've got to keep on eating and drinking. Eating the flesh of the body of the Lord and drinking the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how do I do that? How is that provided? It's a matter of faith, folks. Verse 19, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if he shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? By the way, they are going to see him ascend up from where he was before when they see him go up in the ascension in Acts chapter 1. They're going to see that. And he's going to go right back into heaven where he came from. Verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth or maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now here's where Catholicism is all messed up and where true biblical understanding comes in. Is this matter of eating the body and drinking the blood of the Lord Jesus something that is to be literally done? Did the disciples that day, if any of them were to have this life principle in them, did they have to chew on the Lord Jesus Christ and swallow it down? Did they have to drink his blood? Did not some of the people have this life principle of everlasting life in them already that very day? Yes, I will argue they did. For read on, and I'll kind of get ahead here before I answer what I was just getting into there about Catholicism. Verse 63 says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Listen to this. Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. But notice, I believe there were people standing there that very day who already had within them the life principle Jesus talked about that they could get through him, the bread of life, if they come unto him and believe on him. So these words where Jesus is saying, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Does that mean literal? Let's sit down and cannibalize the Lord Jesus Christ? No, not at all. But these words, going back there to chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, that you need to believe and accept and receive, they are what give you life. And when you by faith trust Jesus Christ, you are in a spiritual sense eating his flesh and drinking his blood. You're by faith saying, I need what he's going to do on the cross for me, the giving of his body and the shedding of his blood for my sins. I receive that word. That's what gives life. The believing and receiving of the word of God concerning who Jesus Christ is. Let me ask you, what have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want the living bread? You need to say like Peter said there, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Well, who else are we going to go to? You've got to come to Christ. Are you ready to do that? Have you already done it? If you've already done it, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ here to his own disciples, let me ask you, those of you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if I asked you to raise your hand, all of you who have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you know you're saved based upon the testimony of the Word of God, I trusted Christ as my Savior, I know I'm saved. I know that I was a sinner, I repented of that sin, trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I know I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, preacher. If you could raise your hand and say, yes, that's me. Will ye also go away? You know, a lot of people stopped following Jesus that day when he talked like that. A lot of them went away and no longer walked with him. Does that mean they lost their salvation if they were saved? No. I'm sad to say this, but there are a lot of disciples of Jesus Christ who are not walking with Jesus every day. They've decided, that's too exclusive for me. I'm glad he saved me, but I'm not ready to tell everybody else they've got to trust in him only in order to be saved. Whoa, will ye also go away? I would say to you, you know what we need to be doing in these days? If we know the Lord is our personal Savior, we need to walk right with him. Just walk right along with the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you need the Lord. You need Jesus. You need to be trusting in what he did for you on the cross. He gave his body. He gave his blood for you. What have you done with him? He's the bread of life. He'll give you life. Help you every day to keep on living. Keep on going for the Lord. How about it? Will ye also go away? So this is a message for the believers too. We all sit here. What have I done with Jesus? Will I stand with him all the way to the end? I hope you will. I'm not talking about losing salvation. I'm just talking about walking with the Lord. Are you willing to walk with the Lord or not? Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the testimony of Jesus here this day. Oh, they wanted a king who could feed them. He wanted to be a king who could save them. But they wouldn't have that. And sometimes even we who believe in him walk no more with him because of the things he says and the exclusiveness of the gospel. People can't be saved unless they trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's not a matter of just trying to turn over a new leaf or be religious. They got to trust Christ. Help us, Lord, to say yes to that message. Agree with it. And share it with everybody that we can. For it's the only way it's going to save their soul. I pray, Father, if there is someone here today who has not eaten by faith of the bread of life, that they would do that today. For they need it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just say, if you're here today and you're not saved, feel free to approach me or anyone else who you know might know about this and talk to them about your need to be saved. Be the best thing you could ever do, trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me ask you, where would you go today if you died right now? Is your faith in the bread of life? Or is it in this life, the things of this world? These things will let you down. Jesus will give you everlasting life. Thank you for listening. Have a good afternoon. See you tonight.